Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Only by embracing death will it pass you by.
What is up, you guys? It's Katie Hettenbach, host of Katie Afraidy, and I'm so excited to chat today with Tim Nguyen, the composer of the new Final Destination Bloodlines movie. You're going to want to listen to this music episode because it's wonderful. Tim's wonderful, and this episode's wonderful. So let's get into it. So excited. So first of all, congrats on the success of the movie. Bravo.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been, we thought we had something special, but I didn't know it was going to do as well as this. So it's amazing to see it and have the fans really, you know, respond to it so positively.
It was so fun. I had never seen, I have a slight speech impediment, and the title of this film is my worst nightmare, which is kind of fitting. So
yeah, it works.
Say, SFD. For this time, I've never seen an FD film in theaters before, and it was such a group experience, and I had never had an experience in a theater like that, so it was very fun.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I of course saw it with the directors and producers for a long time during the dub. And, you know, so I've seen the movie in its totality for many times, but when I saw it at the world premiere for the first time, seeing all the fans like really respond and just have such a great time. It felt like it was, you know, it just was hitting the right note. It's a great summer movie. And like you said, it's a shared experience, and the seeing it by yourself, I really think you're missing out a lot. So if you're waiting to stream it or whatever, I don't think it's the best way to do it. I think you should really go into theaters, in my opinion.
No, you are 100% correct. Also, it's more fun to see in a movie theater.
Especially a movie like this. It's like, you know, you really, I always laughed or I always thought it was funny the first time I saw it. It's just like they got the jokes, and they, you know, and some jokes land different in different audiences. I saw the movie, I think, four times in the theaters over the last 2 weeks. And it's amazing how, you know, that can help shape your experience is seeing it in theaters. So.
Totally. And also, not everybody has, you know, a good sound setup.
Yeah.
And to actually hear it and feel it, like feel the sound.
Right.
It just adds so much dimension. And again, that's all for you. So
thank you. Thank you.
So how did you get attached to this project, or how did they reach out to you?
Well, I guess as one does in 2025, you open up Twitter and see that they're starting a new Final Destination movie, which you're a big fan of. Mm-hmm. And you happen to have worked with the directors previously. So, you know, I just responded. I just put it out there and said, you know, I would love to be on this movie. I'm a big fan of the franchise. Congratulations. I'm so happy, because I knew that they were going to do a brilliant job. Zach and Adam are really just two super smart directors, and they're really fun to work with. And they said, okay, yeah, we'll talk to you about the film, but you know, it's a studio film. So there's a lot of, you know, the creative input that everyone will have. And I said, well, instead of just telling them about me as a composer and your experience with me working on prior projects, let me write about 15 minutes of music, and let me take a chance and see if this is the style that they're looking for. And, you know, I really felt as being a fan of the franchise and being, you know, so familiar with the directors, I felt like I was the right person to work on the project. And I just really, I wanted to show them rather than explain it to them. So that's what I did. And, you know, and it worked out.
That's amazing. That's, you know, everyone's always afraid to like ask. The worst thing they can say is no.
Right. Well, I didn't even ask. I said, because I know what the answer would be, really, I just I just kind of said, look, let me, I knew that they would listen to my music. So that there was my foot in the door. And I started playing, you know, on the piano behind you, or behind me, I should say, started playing the theme. And I just like, yeah, I think this is the right vibe. I feel like this is the right direction for a new movie. I knew they were going to need a new death theme. I loved the death theme that Shirley Walker, you haven't seen any other movies on Final Destination movies. Maybe you're streaming him or whatever, but Shirley Walker was the original composer for Final Destination 1, 2, and 3. And her theme was brilliant. And I knew they were going to go, they needed a new theme. So I went about to write it, and I'm really happy with the results, and everyone on the team was too. So that's what, you know, I guess for me, it was more about taking a chance, because I could have been wrong. I could have been wrong. Like, maybe they weren't looking for that style of music, or maybe they weren't looking for that type of theme, or maybe there was, you know, a lot of different things. I knew nothing about the project. I didn't talk to Zach or Adam anything about the project. So for me, it was, you know, just kind of putting it out there, you know, you just take a chance. And so that I did. And it felt, I was rewarded for it, because I got to work on a Final Destination movie, which I had a blast. You know, it was, the hardest part was probably just keeping all my excitement and energy, where I knew what was going to happen in this, you know, scene. And I can't tell anybody. So it's, you know, 2 years of just kind of holding your breath. So right now, if I see him a little animated, it's because I'm breathing for the first time in two years.
And good. And you should, yeah. You should be excited and be able to like, finally, like tell people like, look what we did, look what we accomplished.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. So, the score felt very, refreshing, like a throwback to late 90s, early 2000s, big orchestral, not as contemporary as like the latter half of the franchise. Was this an intentional throwback, or is this more your style?
Yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable in either style, but there was something about this movie and the story that really called for having sort of a throwback to the bygone eras. You know, we open up the film and we're in the 60s. And so I felt like it needed to have that sort of environment. We knew we wanted to use a full orchestra. So when I saw that scene, I tried to exaggerate the melodies a little bit, as 1960s movies sort of had that sort of over the top, thing. So it just kind of felt natural. And one of the producers, Craig Perry, he's a big soundtrack geek, and he knows, I mean, pretty much any soundtrack there's ever been, he's heard it and he owns it or something. And he loves big melodies, and the directors and I love big melodies as well. So we were looking, instead of an atmospheric score, we really felt like the story would be best told by having, you know, much more of a melodic score.
Cool. Very cool. That's, I am starting to become a music person. My brain is movies, and I didn't grow up with as much music as other people, so I'm learning all of this stuff now, and I think it's
that's great. Well, you've already, like, the funny thing is as a composer, the behind the scenes stuff, that when we talk, all of us, you know, we all have drinks or something, and the one thing that we will say is that usually if a review of the movie says anything about the music, then you're usually,
it's bad.
It's usually because people aren't necessarily hearing the music in a way that you are trying to, you're intentionally just trying to be behind the scenes and move the emotion.
Yeah.
So if you're not hitting the right notes, then what will happen is the reviewer will be, you know, saying something and the music was terrible, it didn't do this and did that. Mm-hmm. So more often than not, the reviewer, when they're looking at the movie, if they mention the music, it's usually not a good thing. So for you learn as a composer, and I learned on this project, that the first reviews come out and usually they don't mention the music, and they didn't on the first reviews I looked at. But what they did mention is when Bloodworth comes in, is that it was an emotional, you know, ride, and it hit all the right tones and it felt great. They didn't say anything music, but without saying those words, they did say a thing about the music. You felt it. And the music is what gave it its feeling. So I felt very good. They didn't say Tim Wynn. They didn't say music, but they did say my name in other ways. And it feels really good to get those that sort of positive of reviews.
Yeah, I always thought, and this is just me, because I always thought like, oh, I never like, I always forget like what music's happening. And now I guess. Now I guess that is a compliment because it just blends all together.
It is. It's so, what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm supposed to drive it. You know.
That was going to be an insult? But
No. It's not. It's meant that way. It's meant to be felt, not heard so much. And you know, there's certain places in the movies where I do come out more. Mm. But it's about the story, and I'm here to help tell the story and drive the narrative. And we're all a team. We're all working together. The actors, the writers, the producers, we're all doing, you know, what we can to make the best movie possible. And sound design, very important as well. So it we're all just trying to do it. And if any one thing sticks out way too much, then it doesn't feel right. So to me, hearing that, that you're like, you didn't notice the music, that's fine. It shouldn't be. This is about my craft right here is about the movie.
Yes, totally. Okay, cool. I'm glad that that's...
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, no. Is that a...
No, it's cool. Okay. It's totally cool.
You just answered my question. So that's perfect. That's perfect. And for those of us who aren't as musically inclined, how do you even approach, like, composing the new theme or, like... just really anything from scratch? It seems so daunting, but I guess that's also the same as like screenwriting. Like, you don't know it till you know it.
I think you're 100% right about screenwriting. It's a very similar process. I think it comes from inside. It's mm-hmm. just something that you are watching a movie. You're envisioning of what the story needs to tell. And so what my brain does, and it's, you know, I had to learn it. I mean, I think I have a little bit more of a bent to it, but it's just that you can interpolate what your feelings are. And to me, when I'm interpolating, it's, you know, just converting those feelings into music. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of times I will say, on a movie, you generally have a lot more time to play around with, you know, so if there are days that you show up and you're just not feeling it and the music isn't coming out right, well, you have time to kind of make up with it. But when you're working in TV, you don't have that time. You need to write a lot of minutes really quick.
Yeah.
And so you quickly learn that if you can write ahead of time, so you're in the shower and you start thinking about the scenes that you're going to write today or wherever you happen to be, you can be walking your dog or whatever it is, you're just kind of letting, you know, the creative juices go and listen to nature and just kind of really, you know, space out and let the music come to you. And then when you get into the office or you get in front of the keyboard, it just kind of like spills out of you. And that's when you can be the most creative, you know, possible that way, you know, and every day isn't like that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's not like music just flies out of my fingers, you know, magically at every opportunity. But when things are, you know, when everything's vibing right, that's the best way it can happen.
That's amazing. That seems like such an insane thing. I played the alto sax in and I was terrible, and I just don't think I'm.
No, it's not terrible. You're just, you know, you just didn't give it enough time. Alto sax is not an easy instrument to play, so
it was fun.
You know, but there are people that like the only thing that I will say that you can appreciate it and you can enjoy it, whereas like. I don't know if every composer is this way, but definitely for me, it's hard to turn it off. So if I'm watching movies or TV shows or whatever, all I'm thinking about is music and the whole time. And so sometimes it's a little bit of a chore. And that's why there's a lot of times that like at the end of the day, and I've seen other composers do this as well, where they just want to, you know, go to a baseball game, go watch hockey, go to the opera, just something different where you're not thinking about music, although opera maybe is not the thinking about the music as well. But if you can only focus on the dancers, because otherwise when there's a score or something involved, it just, you just, you're thinking about it, you're critiquing it, you're like, wow, this is amazing, or oh, I would change it this way, or just, and so your brain is just like going around and around and around, and you got to eventually turn it off.
Yeah, it's, and it's also like I have that with editing as an editor, and it's almost like when the film is able to have me forget, that's when I'm like, this is a good movie.
Yeah, that's it, that's exactly right.
And
you know, it's the same thing. And I don't know, it's probably exactly what you said, but like when you're writing a piece of music and you're wondering, you know, like, is this sound right? The melody, all these different elements that you're putting together, like the test that I always seem to give it is this, if like the back of my head, you know, or back of my hair, just kind of stands on end a little bit. Like that's, especially for like a big main theme or something like that, that like I'm waiting for that, like sort of moment to be like, yes, this is, I've created something that feels, makes me feel the way I want to feel.
That's amazing. That's so cool. That's so, it's so freaking cool. Look at you. Look, so cool.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I can't say cool more. I'm going to say cool again. It's cool.
That's all right. Cool. It's all cool.
So do you have a favorite scene in the movie that you scored?
There's so many scenes, there's so many scenes, but there was definitely one, that was very impactful for me. It's when we see Bloodworth, the actor Tony Todd, come on the screen. I really felt like that scene was special in so many ways. The producers and the directors mentioned that we should start to use Shirley's theme there. So Shirley Walker was the original, composer, and it felt magical to hear her melody and to see Tony Todd. And we knew that was going to be his final scene because he was very ill at the time. Mm. And so there was something about that scene that just feels just right. And writing it felt amazing and felt important. Recording it felt that way. And every time I've seen it, I've got chills on the back of my neck, just, you know, dealing with it. So if I had to pick one, I know there's a lot of great death scenes and there's a lot of great moments, but that to me was the one I'd like to highlight for sure.
Oh yeah. There was not a dry eye in the house. We were all together, and it was just like, I was just like, Tony, and just, it was a really powerful moment.
So. Yeah, I agree.
And you helped make that even more powerful.
So. I did. He deserved a proper send off. The guy's a legend. He was amazing, and amazing in all the movies, amazing everything he was in. So for me, it was just, you know, quite an honor to be a part of it. So that's the best I can do.
You did it. You should give yourself a pat on the back for that.
Oh, thank you.
That's huge. Yeah. Immediate. So when it comes to the FD franchise, do you have a favorite movie besides this one, obviously?
Right. This one would rank high in my list for sure, for obvious reasons. But I think the first one, I thought they captured lightning in the bottle. You hadn't seen a movie that was quite like that yet. And I love the scene with you know, the airplane, you know, exploding, and just the tension that it was creating up. And then, I just thought it was just brilliant how it happened. And it's just like, you knew you're in for a fun ride. So, that FD1, just because it just kind of broke the mold right there.
Totally. It's the best. Now these are more just generic horror questions as I'm, finishing the list of questions that we have. These are more just ones that I ask everybody on the podcast. Everybody has that movie as a kid that scared them, like the first movie, well, whether it was a horror movie or not. What was the first movie to scare you?
I don't know if it was the first one, but definitely was probably one of the top ones was, I think, Jaws. Mm-hmm. So there was something about that movie that I just scared the life out of me. I live on near the coast in California. I go to the beach quite often. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. It was terrible. It's just like, and my sister, and maybe this is why I got into music, but my sister would sing John Williams' theme at home to kind of scare me. And I kind of envisioned that the carpet was like the ocean.
Oh, no.
And, you know, so just da 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 da, and just like, oh my God, you know, so I was freaked out. I still, I'll swim now. I'll swim in my pool, a pool of all things. And I'll still think, oh my God, there's a shark going to come and get me or something. I don't know. So I think they did something right to really get into the psyche of it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I've heard that a lot of people have said Jaws as well, yeah, and have that fear with pools and stuff. I haven't had that, but if there's certain lighting in the pools, I'm like, if there was a shark here, that would make sense, because
that shadow over there, that's definitely the shark. Absolutely,
this would be a good moment in a movie for the shark to come and kill me. So that's, I'm right there with you. Is that also your favorite horror score, or is there another one?
I mean, there's so many scores that I have that I love. I mean, there's that one I liked. Even an older score is The Omen, mm-hmm, by Jerry Goldsmith. And again, that's an old one, you know, but those scores sort of gave us all the vocabulary that we use nowadays. And Poltergeist, another Jerry Goldsmith score, was great. And I guess those are the two that I would say.
Yeah, they're so ominous. Ooh, The Omen, ooh, so good. So good. And I just thought of another one, because we got to ask one more, obviously. What is your go-to instrument that you always, is it piano? Is that like?
Piano is where I do most of my writing. Okay. But depending on the score, there's oftentimes, I mean, I taught myself piano first, and then I took lessons on guitar. And what's great about guitar, and anyone that's listening, if you're thinking about getting into music, piano is amazing. But the thing about guitar is that you have a more tactile sort of approach to things. You get used to strumming strings and things. So that allows me to do, like play a little bit of cello, play a little bit of things, and kind of like create like interesting noises and sounds and fun stuff. So guitar and piano are really, you know, two of the instruments that I think that that are great to have in my line of work for sure.
That's amazing. And then how many in total instruments do you play?
I mean, playing is a very subjective term, I guess. I play a lot of instruments. Now, how good am I at all of them? You quickly learn as a composer that to be an expert and at any of these instruments, it takes an endless amount of time. And so when I was younger, for me, the main thing that I wanted to do was write my own music. And so obviously as a composer, that's, I guess, where I turned to. So that I just started skipping practice and just be like, all right, what about my tune or something like that? So I jumped on that, you know, really quickly.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And this is my final question.
Okay.
Everybody.
Your final destination.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the silly one. It's a silly one. Do you think audiences will be afraidy or not afraidy of FD Bloodlines?
Well, I guess it depends. The first time I saw it, I mean, I think they're definitely gonna be afraidy for sure. There's moments, but I think the brilliance in this movie is the comedy. And I guess I caught myself thinking a few times that, is this a comedy with horror aspects, or is this a horror movie with comedy? I think it's definitely a horror movie with comedy, but I think the way the writers and the directors pulled it off, it was just a little bit of genius.
That is a great way to put it. And the correct answer, is it comedy or horror or horror or cop, is Yep.
Yes, both.
Yes.
Affirmative.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, Tim, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Katie. I really appreciate it.
Of course. And we will see you on the next one. So excited.
See you on the next one.
Thank you so much, Tim. That was so fun. Oh my gosh, learned so much. Wow. And now I'm going to go see the movie again because it's so freaking good. But, and you guys should too. It's still in theaters. Go freaking watch it in theaters. Don't wait. Go see it. It's a threat. Anyways, guys, it's been an absolute delight. Make sure, like, subscribe, all that jazz. Katie Afraidy, all social media platforms. Want a copy of Fangoria? Use code KatieAfraidy25 for 25% off. Thank you to our sponsor, Filmcraft Studio Gear. You can find that at filmcraftla.com or filmcraftla on Instagram. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Stay Afraidy.
Because that would be crazy.
Good luck.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.